around the mulberry bush when it comes to things in life sometimes. How often do you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your beliefs and also to the beliefs of others that you listen to? The people that you've gotten used to listening to, how often do you let the Word of God and His Holy Spirit either evaluate or affirm your beliefs or correct your beliefs? Beliefs are important. And our beliefs are not just what we say we believe. They're what we believe, really. They're what we believe. So we sometimes think that the reason that Jesus, and we've been kind of in this thing for the last couple weeks, we feel a lot of things, like we don't feel like God wants to speak, or God doesn't want to speak to us, or we think that the reason Jesus speaks to us and wants to be in our lives is to guide us or teach us something in our service to Him. We think it's transactional sometimes. That's the only reason why God wants to talk to me. It's kind of like maybe my parents sometimes. The only reason they want to talk to me is to get them to do the job. My dad used to always say, why do you think I had kids? I had kids to do the things I didn't want to do. You've probably heard your parents say that, or you've said that to your kids, right? And so the only time mom or dad speak to us is when they want us to do something we're not doing, or whatever, or when they want us to serve them better or to work. Right? But I'm telling you this morning, if that's your belief about God, you've missed the mark. It's not true. It's not scriptural. And it's not what Jesus, it's not the example He set. Rather, here's the deal. It gives God pleasure to speak to you. Say amen, Mark.
Amen.
Amen. Mark's my amen guy. It actually, think about that. Stop. It brings God pleasure to speak to you. Whether you're 8 and you're younger, huh? It gives God's pleasure to speak to you. It gives God pleasure whether we're the oldest person in this room, and I'm not going to point that person out. It gives God pleasure to speak to you. It gives Him pleasure. You know why? It gives Him pleasure because He loves you. He loves you. And He wants you to love what He loves. That's why He speaks to you. That's why, if we're the best we are as a parent, that's why a parent speaks to their children. Because they love them and they want them to love the things they love. They want them to understand themselves and them. And that's why God speaks to us. He wants to be close friends with you and me. He wants to be close friends with you and me. And I just feel like we have to stop with that sometimes, because we live in this religious, we live in a Bible Belt, well, that's one thing. A lot of us have grown up in the church, and we have a lot of religion we have to evaluate and beliefs that really shackle us. And we sometimes show up at church, and to be honest, we don't really expect God to say much or anything to us, because I didn't really come for that. I just came because it's part of my habit, my routine, and I wanted to see the people there, and I wanted to hear something that challenged me, but not too much, right? Just a little bit. And so we come. And that's okay. God loves you still, but He wants something deeper. You want something deeper. Son of a gun, do you want to just live a religious experience? How dead is that? I'm telling you what, if that's what I'm going to get, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to do something else. Because it's not enough for me. God speaks to us because He wants to be close friends. So we've been looking at this the past couple Sundays in the Gospel of John, and we were seeing how Jesus was trying to comfort His disciples, right? Because He had lived with them. He had spoken with them. He ate every meal with them. He was around. They knew Him like they knew their brothers or their sisters, because they were living together and they were close. And now Jesus has been telling them, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die, and it's going to be tough, and you're going to grieve it, and that's going to be tough. But I'm here to tell you it's a part of God's plan to love. And I'm willing to do it because I love you, and I'm your friend, and I'm the only one who can step in and make peace. I'm it. So Jesus is sharing a bunch of different things. So the Gospel of John, when you get into those latter chapters from 12 on, man, you got to know that Jesus is sharing a lot of things, but he's showing himself and what he's like. And he's explaining in a nutshell that this relationship that I have with you is a close friendship. And that's what he keeps showing. And he keeps using metaphors and parables, but he wants you to see it in your mind's eye. He wants you to understand it. And he wanted them to be reminded of it, because it's the way it is. I want you to read with me John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We might even read the verses I left out, and they're going to read verses 14 and 15, but I left the middle verses out, but I feel like I should read those. So we're going to go with that. So read with me, starting in John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my father is the gardener." Israel was known as the vine. God's people were known as the vine. The Messiah that would come would be the vine. What he's saying to them is, hey, I'm telling you plainly, I am the true vine. I've been what you've been waiting for. I am it. I am the vine. And then he says, and my father is the gardener. Father is acquainted too with you and with me, and he's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. It kind of lets you feel like a little bit like he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they'd been talking to just earlier, a few chapters earlier, they had rejected Jesus. They bore no fruit, and they were cut off, they were trimmed off. Not to say that they couldn't be grafted back in, because in my family, I grew up in the produce business, and we grafted branches to trees all the time, different fruit trees to different, I'm not going to go into it all, but I grew up around them splicing branches into vines, and it works, and you become a part of that. And that's what, so God could do it if they were willing. So it keeps going on. Sorry, I got off there. So it says that he cuts off the branch that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I, or some of your Bibles say, abide in me. Remain in me. Put in your mind the picture of a branch to a vine. That's what abide and remain means. You become a part of one another, and you are in one another. You are abiding. You're one. And so it goes on. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. There's your identity and his identity. If you remain or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God intends for us to be fruitful. Fruitful, we've sometimes have thought in the church, is numbers or, it's money or it's building. It's not any of those things. It could be some of those things. Even. But it's so much more than that. It's about acts of obedience. It's about miracles. It's about people coming to Christ and being born again. It's about healings happening. It's about us taking steps of faith because we hear the word of God spoken to us. Those are all the good fruits that come from us because we're abiding in the vine. Let's keep going. Apart from me, though, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. We got a big pile of those right over here. I noticed somebody went around the property and picked it up. You know? So we see that. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Oh my gosh. What does that mean? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now here's the part I was going to leave out, but I'm going to read it because I think it's germane to this whole idea of fruit bearing and this whole idea of being a branch to the vine. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Because I'm the true vine. I'm filled with the life. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So if I'm in you and you're remaining in me, my love's going to remain in you. And that means as a branch, you're going to love as you've been loved. And you're going to love others as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So this is a sacrificial, generous love. And it's part of what's going to come out of the vine. You're connected to this vine because it's him. And it's in his heart. It's his life. That's how we're called to love. That extravagant. Wow. That's sacrificial. Even to the point of being willing to feel pain in loving others. Love hurts. Doesn't it? I know. Thank you, whoever said that. Okay. That's exactly what I was thinking. And then he goes on, Jesus says in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. The vine of the universe just said, I want to be friends with you. You are my friend. And then he goes on, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And I continue to make it known to you. Friends talk. Friends are together. Friends open up. Friends go deep and get closer. And I have chosen to do this with you. Will you do this with me? Will you do this with me? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that everything you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. This is my word to you, love each other. So I read a few more scriptures than what I intended to read because I wanted you to hear that whole passage. Jesus is trying to encourage them and he's trying to describe to them the kind of relationship they can expect. The kind of relationship they're going to have once the Holy Spirit comes. And right after he died, he resurrected, he told them, you're going to have to go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift that the Father had promised. It's the gift of myself. I'm going to come. My Spirit's going to come. And he told us in John, in the later chapters, we read them last week, that this Spirit was going to be the Spirit of Jesus. They already knew this Spirit because it's going to be Jesus in spirit form. Same Lord. And he was going to come and fill them because he's the vine. And they were going to be filled with the life of the vine. Right? So he told them that. But as you look at this passage, what are some things that it tells us about our relationship with God and what we should expect? Here's the first one. He is, as the vine, our source for life, for direction, and fruitfulness. He is the vine. This is the last of his I am sayings. I am the true vine. So we see an announcement as the Messiah that he's the one that was to come. And he's revealing this to them. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So as a vine, we're his branches. And that's our relationship to him. You know, we looked before we came to know Jesus, we looked for our source for life, direction, and fruitfulness to a lot of things, didn't we? Some of you out there know you, and maybe you're still kind of looking to these things. I looked for my source to be in my accomplishments. I looked for my source to be in the people I was friends with, or the girl I was dating, or in the money I was making. I was looking for my source for life and direction for life out of my experiences. So I was always looking for a better and bigger experience. And even in drugs and alcohol and other risky behavior and challenges and adventures that may have not been lawful, I was looking for life. Just like you, in directions. We looked for it in education. We looked for it in training and getting the right job, having the right things. We were looking for purpose in meeting life and direction and fruitfulness. Man, if I just do this, if I just get that. But I can still remember one of the first impressions I got after I accepted Jesus, after I came to him, and I said, okay, God, either you make me brand new and change my whole life and change me, or I don't give my life to you. And the Lord said, I will. And when I submitted and asked him to forgive me for my sins and to come and be the Lord and Savior, my Savior from my sins, but be the Lord of my life and live within me. And he did that. One of the first things I felt right after that is, well, there were a number of things I felt. One, I felt like I am more me than I ever was before. I'm free. I can be me. I can be Kelly. But the other thing I felt was, man, not only can I be Kelly, but I have found what I had always been searching for. I went, this is what I've always been looking for. In every pursuit I went after to try to find the source for life, direction, and fruitfulness, I came up short. It never fulfilled. It never measured up. But when I sat there with Jesus and I realized he's in my life now, he's in my heart, he's in me, and I am following him now, I felt for the first time, this is what I have always been looking for. Every time I pushed to the limit was a search for him, for the true vine, and I found him. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. It changed everything in my life. It'll change everything in your life. And we are to abide in this vine. And abiding means that we stay connected to and receiving nourishment from the vine. I want you to look at this passage again. Jesus said in verses 4 and 5, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, we're not talking about beliefs as intellectual assent, but we're talking about beliefs that are relational, that we experience. Not only do we know them, we experience them. We embrace them, we cling to them, and they give us life. They give us life. And so the Lord said, here I am. I'm the true vine, and you are my branches. I don't know if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior today. Maybe some haven't. I don't know what source you are looking to. There's only one vine. It's Jesus. I'm here to tell you, he'll change your life. He will. If you're tired running after other sources, You can stop today and come to him. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He came to save the world, to seek and to save. Give him a real hard look. Read his Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Check it out and ask real questions. You'll find him. He's there. He wants you to find him. And you'll be free. So he is the true source. So he leads you in all decision making. He leads you everywhere he wants you to go. And there are some great benefits that come with him being the vine in your life. And here's our second point. Some of the great benefits that are included in this abiding and in this remaining is his spoken word to you, which prunes and cleans, preparing you to bear fruit. Those are great benefits, his spoken word to you. In John 15:3, Jesus told his disciples, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I want you to know something. You don't get this in the English, but it's different in the Greek. The word that's used here for the word I have spoken to you is rhema. That's the spoken word of God. He says you're clean because of the rhema that has been spoken to you, as opposed to the logos, which is the other Greek word, and there's more than that even, that deals with the written word, or the whole revelation of Jesus would be the logos, or doctrine, or faith. So it's a written word. And what he's saying here, remember, read it again. I'm going to get back to it again in verse 3. You are already clean because of the rhema I have spoken to you, not the logos. You ever known people who know their Bible, but they don't seem to ever have any power to live it or to be changed by it? Most of the time, those people, it's because they don't hear any rhema. And they don't even believe God will speak rhema to them. So I'm here to tell you, this is really important to get in our theology of God speaking and as we move forward. Jesus continues to say in John chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. What's the Greek word for that one? My words remain in you. What's the Greek word? It's not logos. It's rhema. It's a spoken word to you. It's a spoken word. Got to hang with me. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you and done for you. Just because you read something in the Bible doesn't mean that God's going to give it to you. I can still remember saying, okay, God, I want to jump out and walk on water because Peter did and I have faith. I'm going to walk on water. And then as I was coming up from the deeps of the water, I realized God said, I didn't tell you you could walk on water. I can remember going, boy, I got faith. Lord, I was in high school and I was in practice before the big game. I swing around to hit our tight end and I punch his helmet and break my hand. Big time. And I go, oh, the big game's coming, man. I'm playing in it. They said, no, you're not. You're not playing in it. I went, what? They go, no, you're not playing in it. And I had to get that thing casted up and wrapped up. And I was fit to be tied that I wasn't going to play. So I go, okay. All right, if I can't play in a big game, then I'm not going to be in a big game. All right. So I'm out, but I'm playing the next game. And so the next week I went to prayer meeting. And I actually cut off my cast. It was one of those fiberglass things. And I said, God, in faith, I believe. I trust you. You're going to heal this hand. Because I trusted in the Lord. I saw God do miracles. He did miracle in me and saving me. And so I said, Lord, and the Lord was speaking to me, you're going to heal this hand. And I thank you for that. And I went to that prayer meeting and I got done. And you know what the Lord said after the prayer meeting? He said, put your cast back on, Kelly. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the scripture I heard loud. And I went, what? I have faith. You didn't hear my word to you. I love you. I want what's best for you. But my will says this. I want to show my glory through your weakness. What? I don't want God. I don't want you to speak to me about suffering and weakness. I want to hear your voice in triumph, in glory, right? In victory. And the Lord said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I put my cast back on. I wrapped it. I was able to play the rest of the season, and I played it with a club. And I had to. I had to trust him. And there were consequences because of that suffering. I used to say it was one of the first times God really clipped. God was always clipping my wings because I was, you know, not some of you, you're good with listening to the Lord not telling him no. I was the kid who always wants to say no, but then I would go and do what the Lord wanted. So you know that parable where he talks about the sons? I do. And Jody goes, oh yeah, that's you always. You always say no and then you come and do what you're supposed to do anyhow. Well, yeah, but I struggle with it. So the God glory, but there were consequences from that too, you know, because that affects your ability. And then your glory gets kind of brought down a little bit. But that was good for me. It was necessary, and I don't want to go into that. But what I'm here to say to you today is here's this word, rhema. Whatever you wish, it'll be given to you or done for you. God will do what he says to you in rhema. He will do every single time. That is the prayer of faith. If I don't hear God's word on something, I'm just praying the prayer of hope. It's an aspirational prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants you to talk to him, and he wants you to pray for things. But the Lord speaks, and we must listen. And when he does, there's faith. And why do I know that faith is created when he speaks? It's because of what it says in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Guess what the Greek word is for word there? Anybody? Rhema. It's not logos, it's rhema. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I'm telling you, God's always speaking. Are we listening? God's always speaking. And in his spoken word, it prunes and it cleans us and it prepares us for fruitfulness. I told this story before. It was even in college. God just, you know what? How often do you and I talk, Jody? Did you hear? What'd she say? A lot. My wife should be my best friend and my closest friend. She's my soulmate, right? Yeah. Lord's even kind of closer. I'm sorry. Because, right, you're number two, and I'm number two for you too. Yeah. So if we speak a lot, God wants to speak a lot to us. But you know what? Can I tell you what Jody said to me even this morning? Do you think I could recount to you the conversations we had this morning? If you're smart, you'll say no. Why? Not just because I'm old, but because that's the way it goes in relationships, isn't it? You have discussions and you talk every day and you communicate every day, but you can't remember half of what you said. So it's okay if God speaks to you every day and you don't remember half of it, that's okay. But like Jason is saying, some of us want to keep journals and we want to keep journals of those major words to us so we can remember and not forget them. If you want to do that, that's a good idea to do that because God will speak that much. That you won't remember everything. But I'm here to tell you, God has spoken continually throughout my life as I've been walking with him and looking to him and trusting him to be my vine, and I was his branch. I can remember once in college, we went on a hitchhiking trip. My friend and I in college, we were gonna hike from LA up the coast to San Francisco, then across to Sacramento, and then back down to LA. And we were doing this as part of an adventure risk, and partly because you know, I love doing stuff like that. And, we lived in the era where people did that, but they didn't do it that much. So we take off, and I'm just going to tell you one little jaunt. One little jaunt, because you get picked up by interesting people. But we prayed the whole time. We were both believers. So we get picked up on this one jaunt by this gal, and she had just gotten off work. Young women, don't pick up hitchhikers, especially when they're just two guys. That was probably really not safe. I don't know. I think the girl thought we were going to be a party and we were going to have a good time and it was all going to be great, but we were believers, so that ruined that. But she gets us in the car and she goes, oh, I got to stop by the bank and I got to cash my check. And so we went with her to the bank, cash her check. Think about how unsafe that is. You know, and I'm like, you know, thinking, you know, I'm kind of an older brother at the time, like, okay, girl, come on. We love you. We appreciate the ride, but you need to wise up real quick. But what does she do? She drives us out of the greater area, right? Because we caught her ride with her somewhere. Yeah, I can't remember. It was the greater area of LA. We were getting outside of the city. And she took us up to the Santa Barbara area, and she drops us off. She goes, I'm kind of done here, so I'm going to drop you off here. That's what she said. And we go, well, all right, we appreciate the ride. She drops us on this on-ramp, off-ramp. It's single lane by itself, and the only place that it was connected to was this cattle ranch that was right over here. How many cars you think go on that road and take that on-ramp and off-ramp? I was just like, what? I mean, come on, really? Lord, look what she did. She dropped us kind of in the middle of nowhere with no ability to catch a ride. So I go, Jay, I go, we got to get up on this freeway, man, and we got to get going here. And so we got up on this freeway, and I go, I'm going to sit over here, and I'm going to seek the Lord and his word, and I'm going to pray. And we're just going to see what's going on because we are in a world of hurt. So I started reading the Bible. I was reading in Philippians about not being anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God. And I just said, Lord, I'm seeking you. I want to listen to you. Tell me what are we to do? And then all of a sudden, I lifted my head because I heard the Lord speaks ever so faintly. And I said, Jay, a car is going to come and stop with a guy in it, a single guy in it, and he's going to take us all the way or almost all the way. And then I bow my head, and Jay just looks at me like, okay. Oh. And I bow my head back down, and I'm seeking the Lord. I had only bowed for a moment, and Jay goes, Kelly, a car stopping! And I look up, and a guy comes whizzing over. It's a single guy in a car. We go up to the car, and we ask him, where are you going? He goes, well, I was down here for a job interview, and I'm going back up to Redwood City. Where do you think we were going? Redwood City. And the Lord had said he's going to take you all the way or almost all the way. He took us to a restaurant there where we called the relatives we were spending the night with, and they came and picked us up from there. God did what he said he was going to do. And you think, you hear me say stuff like that, and you go, well, Kelly, that's just because God does that for you. No, he does that for all of us. Doesn't he? Story after story after story, when we get used to listening to Rhema. And that creates faith. It does when the Lord says stuff. Now I can trust him. He applies his word to me. And I need his written word, and his Rhema will never contradict his logos. The logos is the foundation for our lives. We've got to stay in the written word. We've got to listen to his word. And every time we get a rhema for God, we've got to bring it back to the written word and make sure it doesn't contradict, but it complements. And the Lord is really in it. And we've got to bring it to people that we trust even sometimes. But God wants to speak to us. And he does that through his rhema. It prunes us. It cleans us. Man, so many times it helped me to repent or get on the straight and narrow and stay on God's path where I might have missed it. For jobs, for relationships, for school. I have story after story after story. See, I hope you do too, because that's what God intends. I'm going to have to go to the last one because we're going over time. And you saw this at the very end. I can be close enough to know Jesus' business. That's how close I can get to him. I had somebody ask me this question, and I think it's an important one because I think some other folks may have it. Can a follower of Jesus know the will of God ahead of time before they study out the scriptures and read it and consider the principles of God's word in his written word? How would you answer that? I answered it, yeah. Yeah, you can. You can, because God wants to give you. Now, you need to go research it out, too, for a foundation. But, and as you read and stay in Scripture, your ears get more open to what God is saying, and you can discern his will easier. But yes, he does tell you those things ahead of time. You know why? He wants you to know his business. You're a close friend if you know my business. Right? He just told them. What servant knows their master's business? I'm your master, but you're going to know my business because we're friends. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You can hear his word. I want you to stand with me this morning. There's so much more in this passage. So much more. And I know that some could be concerned, you know, I'm not sure I really heard God's voice. Am I one of these withering branches that aren't bearing fruit? Hey, you don't have to worry about that. What you need to worry about is you know how to come to him now, that you can come, remain in him, abide in him, and he wants to be your best friend. He wants to speak his rhema to you. And he will teach you how to hear it and know it. Stay in his word, follow him, and he will make you into the image of Jesus. He'll make you what you want to be. You know, our lives as believers are an example of that. And as we follow the Lord in that, so we want to help others follow the Lord in that. So here's an opportunity. Go back to this word and meditate upon it. Go back to this word and ask God questions. Go back to this word and practice. Step out to listen. Ask God to speak. You'll begin to hear his voice. Yeah, you're going to feel unconfident and you're going to make mistakes in the beginning. Don't sweat it. I made a mistake by cutting off my cast and saying, but look what, I fell forward and I matured, I grew and I understood and I finally did hear God's will. Huh? His word. Because he's good that way. So let's walk in that. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would convince everybody here this morning how close of a friend that you want to be to them. God, speak to their hearts and bring your rhema into their lives. And then help them, God, to trust you and to walk in faith that they might receive more rhema, that they might even understand the Logos like they never did before. Because you make it alive and living, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to divide between their soul and their spirits and their joints and their marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and attitudes of their heart according to your promise in Hebrews. Because your rhema speaks, and your rhema brings it. Thank you, Lord, for your plan for us. Thank you for this encouragement that can show us how we can weather any storm that comes our way. Because you're with us. You've promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We have nothing to fear. We are your children, your sons and daughters. And you are building our identity in you, Jesus, as your branches. So, Father, thank you for that. We give you praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said together,